Ukraine has decided to flex its parliamentary muscle in defiance of Russia and signaling a renewed unity with the West. Its lawmakers, with the support of Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, has declared itself in favor of working toward joining NATO. It has dropped its status as non-aligned, opening the door to a possible military alignment with the West. BBC reporter David Stern is in Kiev and says the Ukrainians felt they had no choice in taking this step.
Relations between Kiev and Moscow are already absolutely horrible. And the reason why the Ukrainians say that they've had to do this is because of the aggression from Russia, they say. There's the annexation of Crimea in the beginning of the year. There's the Russian-backed separatists and, in fact, Russian troops that are in eastern Ukraine, and generally the pressure that Moscow has been bringing on to Kiev. So Kiev says they really don't have any choice than to scrap their non-aligned status and start to try to move towards NATO.
Is this a move to jettison the eastern parts of the country that are already controlled by separatists, or is this an attempt to pull them with the rest of Ukraine into the NATO orbit?
Well, difficult to say. And it should be said also that we're not talking about NATO membership tomorrow, if at all. There's a lot of questions. Ukraine obviously has to get its army into shape. NATO doesn't look kindly on to countries that have conflicts currently going on their territories. So this may not be, if it's going to happen, it's going to be much further down the road. And the eastern regions are very much in a twilight zone. Nobody really can define what their status is. But it also should be said that this has been a topic that has really split Ukrainian society in the past. Ever since the conflict with Russia began, though, support for NATO membership has been growing, even in the eastern part of the country. Maybe not in those areas controlled by the separatists, but in other areas in the east that are Russian-speaking. So it's a very much a fluid situation right now.
Is this growing support for NATO membership, or at least in alignment with the West, due to the economy, a weariness with war, or do they see what was the fate of people in Crimea and Georgia in being linked with Russia, that it didn't turn out so well for them?
Well, if you remember, this Ukrainian conflict began a year ago when the previous president, Viktor Yanukovych, scrapped ideas to move towards Europe. What the Ukrainian parliament voted on, what the president presented, and what a lot of Ukrainians feel is that they really, as I say, they don't have a choice. They've had their security has been very much compromised. They're under threat. And they say, well, you know, the non-aligned status didn't really do us too well in the past. We signed a memorandum in Budapest in 1994 that Russia promised that they would respect Ukraine's sovereignty. And look where that got us. So why don't we try something a little bit different now? Why don't we go with the alliance that is going to try to protect us? At least that's what they hope.
David Stern, BBC reporter in Kiev, on a vote in parliament to drop non-aligned status by Ukraine, moving it potentially closer to the West. David Stern, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Another few minutes now to regard the developments in Ukraine this week. The country is engaged in a separatist conflict with Russian-backed insurgents, a conflict that erupted over an internal debate in Ukraine over whether the country belongs in Europe or in an alliance with Russia. By voting this week to work toward closer ties with the West, including possible NATO membership, what is the Ukrainian parliament after? Is Ukraine in NATO even possible at this point? Joining us now, Ambassador Kurt Volker, former U.S. ambassador to NATO. Ambassador, it's nice to talk to you again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So can Ukraine be in NATO at this point? Are there too many complications with the conflict on the eastern border?
Well, there are a lot of complications. And when NATO has brought in other members before, it's insisted that they be democracies, successful market economies, rule of law, civilian control of the military, good interoperability with NATO, and no disputes with neighbors. And that has been kind of the mantra that NATO has followed. And countries have had to live up to those standards of performance. Now, it's perfectly normal for a country to seek to join an alliance, a defensive alliance like NATO, and a number of countries have since 1997. And it's good that Ukraine is interested in this, but it's got a long road to go. And then finally, the decision-making at NATO is by a consensus of all the current members, and that means all 28 current members of NATO, from Germany to the U.S. to Greece, all have to agree.
Who would be most suspicious of bringing NATO in within the NATO membership right now?
Among current allies, you have a number who are concerned that doing so would lead into a conflict with Russia, and they don't want to be in the position of having such a conflict and increasing tensions. And I would say that you would put a number of countries in that category, probably Germany, probably Italy, Belgium, maybe Spain, Greece, perhaps, I mentioned already. So there would be quite a few. At the same time, a principle of NATO since the Cold War ended has been that nations in Europe and Europe's East have the right to make their own decisions about their own security relationships, that it shouldn't be imposed on anyone from outside. And for Russia to try to prevent a country from joining an alliance that it seeks to join or preserving its own sovereignty and independence, that's something that NATO shouldn't accept. So we do leave it very much as a Ukrainian calls to whether it seeks this and then whether they meet the standards, and then NATO judges from there.
But the German profile, before we go, has really risen here. I mean, you had the Clinton initiative that extended the NATO net eastward, ever eastward. But really, if we look in this decade, it's what Germany says that really is going to rule where NATO goes at this point, almost more powerful than the United States. What's your assessment of that?
Well, I think that another way of saying what you're saying is that the United States in the past several years has pulled back, has retreated a bit from engagement in Europe and engagement around the world. And that has left Germany in the position of being the most important, powerful country in Europe and in the transatlantic relationship. Germany has also sought to balance its relations in the West with a close relationship with Russia. So as Russia has become more authoritarian and more aggressive, Germany has tried to compensate and avoid confronting Russia. And that has led to a, I don't want to say neutral, but a much more cautious Germany within the Atlantic Alliance.
Well, the potential for Ukraine to upset the balance in Europe, we're seeing it play out this week. Ambassador Kurt Volker, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ambassador Kurt Volker is former U.S. ambassador to NATO.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.